Okay, good morning to both counsel. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. This is the third oral argument scheduled before us. The matter is Carvin Bazell Jr. versus Tim Walls, A20-1561. Just a few notes before we begin with your arguments this morning. I will just state that, as is clear to all of us, we are proceeding this morning via the Zoom platform. We're making a recording of the argument, and that recording will be available for viewing on our website shortly. I would just ask that no other recordings of the argument be made. Counsel, you can assume that we have read your briefs and we're familiar with the facts of the case. The attorney arguing for appellant will have 15 minutes, the respondent will have 15 minutes, and then the appellant will have 5 minutes for a rebuttal. As you can see in the corner of your screen, we are keeping time, and if anything should happen, from a technology perspective this morning, if we lose either one of you, for example, we'll stop the timer and we won't resume until we're all back together again. Finally, I would just ask that before you begin your argument, you introduce yourself. And with those remarks, I will now turn things over to the attorneys. We'll first hear from the attorney for the appellant. You may proceed. You're mute, Mr. Anderson.
Be telling me something. May it please the court, my name is Steve Anderson. I'm here on behalf of the appellant. The central issue in the appeal is how to define commandeering within the meaning of Minnesota Statute 1234, Subdivision 1. The state will tell you that all commandeering must involve the military or direct enforceable use of private property by the government, and anything short of direct enforceable use is merely proper exercise of regulatory authority. Appellant argues that the definition of commandeering is a bit broader than that, but regardless, the governor's executive orders closing appellant's restaurant, bar, and catering business with the threat of monetary or jail for failing to comply is in fact direct enforceable use. District court sided with the state. Consequently, the appellant is here today requesting three things of this court: overturn the district court ruling, determine that appellant's property and facilities were commandeered by the state, and order the state to initiate the compensation procedures provided in 1234 sub 2. Appellant's argument begins with acknowledging statutory interpretation is a question of law. Cicucciarella versus Driggs, 884 Northwest 2nd, 621, Minnesota Court of Appeals, Minnesota Supreme Court 216, 2016. In addition, Minnesota Statute 645.16 states that statutory interpretation is conducted to ascertain and effectuate the intention of the legislature. If statutory text is clear and unambiguous, the plain, obvious, and rational meaning of the statute is always to be preferred over obscure, lengthy academic endeavor. That cites to the statute itself and also to a pretty time-honored case, Lynch versus Allworth Steffens Company, out of the 8th Circuit in 1923, 294 F190. As the court in 500 LLC Minnesota, 837 Northwest 2nd, 287, Minnesota Supreme Court 2013 explains, this requires that the court must determine if the term is ambiguous. To be ambiguous, a statute must be susceptible to one or more reasonable interpretations. If ambiguity exists, then the court can look to other interpretive tools for guidance. This is exactly what the appellant did and what the appellant is arguing. The term was undefined in the statute, creating ambiguity. Both the state and the appellant turned to dictionaries for guidance. The appellant
Mr.
used-
Mr. Anderson,
yes.
Is it your view that simply because the term commandeer is undefined, the statute is ambiguous?
No, it is. Our view that it's good evidence that it's ambiguous because there are multiple definitions I'm about to get into. Both the state and the appellant turned to dictionaries for guidance. The appellant used the online version of the Oxford Dictionary, which calls itself the oldest English dictionary in the world. Commandeer there is defined as officially take possession or control of something, especially for military purposes. There are, however, two clarifying definitions accompanying that first definition. One, take possession of something without authority, but the second one is more relevant here. Enlist someone to help in a task, typically against the person's will. Appellant argues this clarifying definition should be included in the court's interpretation of commandeering. If so, the appellant's argument becomes pretty obvious. The governor's task was to fight the spread of COVID-19 as stated in Executive Order 20-01 on March 13th. Well, we must continue to take this pandemic seriously, and there are sensible steps that Minnesotans and our state government can take to protect all Minnesotans by slowing the spread of COVID-19. The task was to slow the spread of 19. He then enlists appellant to help in this task against his will by forcing him to shut down his restaurant or operate exclusively with roadside pickup and delivery in his March 16th Executive Order 2004. Quote, the following places of public accommodation are closed to ingress, egress, use, and occupancy by members of the public. And he lists bars, taverns, breweries, all the things that my client owns.
Mr. Anderson, following up on that portion of the executive order that you read to us, that order didn't authorize direct government use of your client's facilities, correct?
If you mean, were there people walking from government walking into the building and using it? No. However, we would argue We would argue within the meaning of the statute that says use, and it's not necessarily doesn't have to be a separate use, that is actually inherent to the idea of commandeering. Now, I know it's hard for me to figure out that use means not use. I mean, that's kind of upside down, and I understand that. But in the present case, by not using it, by closing the doors, they are fighting the task. So in fact, they are using it, but they're not having someone walk in the door to use it.
But would you agree, though, that interpreting the statute, we need to give meaning to the word read in context of the statute as a whole, not in isolation?
I think, in fact, that's what it would state. If you look at the statute itself, in section one, or subdivision one, it talks about all the things that they can do, and it talks about, and by that I mean by what kinds of property they can take. And subdivision two says if they commandeer something, and it does say for use and also to accommodate for damages, but that statute says use. And
doesn't that language, compensation for its use and all damages, contemplate active use by the government as opposed to a restriction, which is really more akin to a regulation?
Yeah, I think the, which of course is the heart of the matter, the way that the respondent answers that as well, these facilities are under constant regulations, therefore it's not that big a deal closing the doors. I would argue that it's a bigger deal when it's for something that they didn't do, like underage drinking or whatever, versus a pandemic that comes along and the governor says that our use of this facility is to close it.
But a fire code limits the number of people that can be in a facility, correct?
Yes.
For safety purposes.
Yep.
And isn't the executive order here really more akin to a regulation of that type? I guess what I'm driving at is it seems to me that the argument you're making here is really more akin to a regulatory takings argument, which you made below and didn't appeal, because it arises from a government restriction of an owner's use of the owner's property as opposed to active use of the property by the government.
Yeah. So when you think about the definition of direct enforceable use kind of comes into play there, right? I guess in the context here, with the executive orders, I'm saying you don't have to have a forcible use as that kind of thing, occupation of the building. On the regulation side, I understand that that is that you could regulate these industries all the way to closing it down. But again, violating a regulation, and some of them do require this is a criminal matter. If they violate it, they're actually subject to going to jail as opposed to a fine. And I think that's a distinction that's worth noting. So the state attacks this argument on several fronts, including the one we just discussed. To begin, the state cites other dictionaries. All the dictionaries include reference to military action. They also include some version of using force. The state then concludes, well, the statute's plain language requires that the state directly and forcibly use the property, which the governor's executive orders undisputedly did not do. The state's argument here has at least three critical flaws. First, it means that punishment by fine or jail does not constitute use of force. The appellant just doesn't buy into that argument. Second, and even more interesting from a policy perspective, it implies that all non-military commandeering appears to require some sort of confrontation or show of force. I don't even know what that means. But sure, would the appellant, if they had a standoff with police to comply with the state's interpretation of force, if they did that and then be compensated, it doesn't make any sense during a pandemic. And it sounds sort of absurd, results in the meaning of Minnesota Statute 645. So the action of force doesn't seem to be as helpful as it might be in other situations. The state argues that merely reducing the amount of appellant's business does not constitute use from the meaning of the statute. The state defends this position two ways. First, by noting that the bar and restaurant business, I had said earlier, is highly regulated. Second, the state turns the legislative intent to prove that limited use does not trigger compensation. The state quotes floor debate in 2002, both the Senate and the House. And the Senate basically was worried about, in the context of a medical emergency, was worried about taking out the ability to commandeer facilities and seems to actually support the appellant's claim. The House argument actually seemed more to be worried about government control and government coming into their homes and taking their guns. But nonetheless, the state summarizes these two quotes as follows. There's no suggestion in the debate that the legislature intended to compensate business owners whose property use had really been limited. Or to your point, Your Honor, I suppose you could put a regulator in there. Appellant response to the legislative history argument is multifaceted. First, I just want to point out that the state actually acknowledges here that the appellant's property was actually used by the state. Second, the quote from the Senate floor seems to support appellant's position by acknowledging there is a need to take over facilities and compensate for that takeover. Third, it's clear that the debate was not even thinking about these matters, but more solely focused on authority. And fourth, the lack of discussion regarding use of facilities for minimal use doesn't automatically imply the use should not be compensated, limited use of compensated. Appellant can just as easily claim that the opposite is true. If they didn't want partial use compensated, they could have stated so. The state further claims that by adopting appellant's definition of commandeer, Minnesota would be out of sync with the rest of the country, claiming 23 other states use commandeering in their emergency response. This statement alone is inaccurate. The statement fails to acknowledge that there are states that have refined the commandeering language a bit by adding or utilized or used in other ways. Language that seems consistent with the appellant's definition of commandeering from the Oxford Dictionary. I'll give you one example right away. For example, the language in Mississippi, commandeer or utilize property if necessary to cope with a disaster or emergency, provided that such private property so commandeered or utilized shall be paid for under terms and conditions agreed upon by participating parties. That's not quite the same kind of a language that we have. So we're already a little bit out of sync with some other states. The state then goes on to argue that there are opinions and applying the the state, each state rule, confirming that the plain meaning of the commander, of commandeer, involves a direct and forcible use of property. And more specifically, the states deny compensation based on limited use only. Both of these assertions are incorrect. For the sake of time, I want to quickly go over to their argument regarding 37 case, regarding absurdity. There are 37 cases in Minnesota that cite 645 as authority for determining unreasonable or absurd results. There's no specific metric, of course, to apply, but rather a case-by-case analysis is required. And of course, always the context of relevant facts. None of the cases involved a pandemic that is as devastating to businesses of all kinds, killing as many people at an alarming rate. This, we understand, is brand new. Appellant appreciates that the government would be required to send out large numbers of notices, figure out a way to fund for the whole thing. But governments do large-scale things all the time. It's their job. If the government has all the numbers quoted by the state, they probably know how to locate all those businesses. Compensation requirements do not require that a check be sent, but rather only notification of what the government plans to pay. That notification could be $0 for all we know, and then let the businesses that want to participate make their arguments. Frankly, this looks a lot like what they what the state is concerned with. There's already a bunch of other cases coming forward to ask for the same thing. So I guess they're not going to be able to avoid it. In conclusion, the appellant respectfully requests that the lower court ruling be reversed and that the state be ordered to send notification of commandeering and what they plan to, what they would plan to pay. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you for your argument, Mr. Anderson. You'll have 5 minutes to address us again on rebuttal. Next, we will hear from counsel for the respondent. Mr. Dornfeld, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Richard Dornfeld with the Minnesota Attorney General's Office, and I'm here today on behalf of the respondent, Governor Tim Walz. The governor appreciates that slowing the spread of COVID-19 has required collective sacrifice, and that these efforts have not been easy or painless for small business owners, including Mr. Bazell. However, despite the pandemic's historic nature, this is ultimately a case of statutory interpretation, and since short-term restrictions on commercial activity do not constitute direct and forcible use of private property by the state, Mr. Bazell's restaurant and event center were not commandeered within Section 12.34's plain meaning. And for this reason, this court should affirm the district court's judgment. This morning, there are 3 points I'd like to discuss with the court. First, that commandeering's plain meaning supports the governor's interpretation of the statute. Second, that direct and forcible use interpretation harmonizes the relevant subdivisions of the statute. And third, that Mr. Bazell's expansive help with a task interpretation leads to unreasonable results in its application. Turning to this first point, commandeering's plain meaning supports the governor's interpretation of the statute. Dictionary definitions, legislative history, the structure of the statute, as well as judicial decisions from other states involving commandeering, they all demonstrate that commandeering requires direct and forcible use. And as District Court Judge Laura Nelson noted on page 7 of her memorandum, there's been no assertion by Mr. Bazell that the state has ever affirmatively used his property. Instead, his claim is premised around the idea that a public occupancy restriction applicable to his bar, restaurant, and event center amount to commandeering. However, this is inconsistent both with statutory language, plain meaning, as well as the structure of the statute, which is the second point I'd like to discuss with the court. Canons of statutory interpretation require that we give effect to all of the provisions of the statute. And here, Section 12.34 has two relevant subdivisions. The first subdivision describes who may engage in commandeering, when commandeering may occur, and most notably, what types of property can be commandeered, including vehicles, tools, appliances, medical supplies, personal property, and facilities. And what's notable about this list is these are all types of property that the state could physically appropriate and directly deploy in an emergency response, whether that's to administer vaccines or tests during a pandemic or support a Minnesota community hit hard by spring floods or a tornado in another context. But assuming that these requirements are met, we then turn to the second subdivision, which requires that the state provide compensation for emergency management use and any damage that occurs incident to that use. And what's most notable about the second subdivision is what it doesn't include. It doesn't ask or doesn't require any sort of independent use assessment. It only asks how much use and how much damage incident that use. So in this way, the second subdivision reads into the first subdivision a use requirement that you can't have commandeering without use. And so the direct enforceable use interpretation dictated by commandeering's plain meaning harmonizes these subdivisions because it precludes a situation where you have property that's been commandeered under the first subdivision that's not eligible for compensation under the second subdivision. By contrast, Mr. Bazell's...
I'm sorry, go ahead. Oh, I didn't mean to.
My apologies. By contrast, Mr. Bazell's help with a task interpretation, as he acknowledges on page 9 of his principal brief, allows for commandeering without use, or more importantly, without property being eligible for use compensation under the second subdivision. And this is a problem because it fails to give effect to that second subdivision. And this leads to the second problem that I'd like to discuss with the court, which is that reading the use requirement out of the first subdivision or eliminating that use requirement ultimately removes any sort of limiting principle on section 12.34's applicability. Canons of statutory interpretation, we require that we avoid absurd or unreasonable results in applying the statute. And certainly at this point in the pandemic, almost all Minnesotans and Minnesota small businesses have had to change their behavior in some way. We've all working from home, wearing masks, changing how retail businesses operate. And it's all in an effort to reduce the spread of and transmission of COVID-19 by limiting situations where people are congregating in intimate settings for extended periods of time. So Mr. Bazell's help with the task interpretation transforms these limitations on personal property and activity into commandeering claims. And that's ultimately unreasonable because it fails to draw any distinction between regulatory limitations and actual physical appropriation of private property, which is what the statute is intended to compensate property owners for. And so ultimately by adopting this definition, the expansive help with the task interpretation, the state's ability to respond to emergencies like a pandemic would be held hostage. State would be tiptoeing around, concerned about sort of the logistical and financial repercussions of implementing the best available public health guidance intended to ultimately save lives.
So Mr. Dornfeld, as I understand your argument, commandeer applies in situations where the government is physically appropriating the property and actively using the property. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And so I have a hypothetical for you. Let's assume the governor determines that additional refrigeration facilities are needed for storing vaccine vials and determines that, decides to commandeer or decides use of private facilities is necessary and issues an order commandeering the facilities at a particular private business that has a vast amount of refrigeration facilities. And the owner of the business agrees to the use of those facilities, lets the government come in and use those facilities to store the vaccine vials, but there isn't any forcible entry or any forcible activity. Is that commandeering within the meaning of the statute? I'm trying to understand what you mean by the word forcible when you say interpreting or when you interpret the term commandeer as a direct enforceable use of property.
Your Honor, by forcible, we mean involuntary, that the state is acting under the authority of the statute. To be clear, there doesn't need to be a police or military confrontation for commandeering to have occurred, merely that that the property wasn't volunteered by the property owner. If a property owner, you know, in a difficult time said, here, use my restaurant, use my business to help in this emergency response, the statute wouldn't be applicable. To the extent that a property owner says no, and the state then avails itself of the statutory provision and this the authority in section 12.34 to physically use the property, than a commandeering would have occurred.
So in my hypothetical, it would be commandeering because it would be basically involuntary use. It would be pursuant to an order by the governor. Would you agree with that?
Yes, Your Honor. If the business owner didn't volunteer the facility, then that would amount to commandeering under the statute.
Even though, thank you. That's a helpful clarification. I wasn't, your brief didn't specify that, or maybe I missed it, but that's a helpful clarification.
Yeah, the direct enforceable use interpretation is a paraphrase of several different dictionary definitions and intended to be consistent with the statute structure. Certainly the court might find other synonyms that it deems more appropriate or a better fit, but the idea being that there needs to be a physical use, physical appropriation of the property by the state, and it needs to be involuntary for commandeering to have occurred.
I have a question following up on that. The dictionary definitions that the district court referenced and that you referenced from Webster's dictionary, the district court referenced the American Heritage Dictionary and you referenced that as well as Webster's focus on military use mainly, although not exclusively. Here, obviously, we're not dealing with a military emergency. Can you comment on that and the applicability of the definitions?
Certainly. The dictionaries, as you mentioned, do talk about police or military use of the property. And I think that gets to the idea that there needs to be a physical use of the property by the government, given that this statute isn't limited to a military context. If you imagine the context, the word is commandeer comes out of this military context where an army or a police force might need immediate use of property as part of its operations. And so that same idea that the government needs to be directly using the property as part of its efforts, in this case, an emergency management response, I think is the idea the legislature was likely trying to capture. And again, if you look at that legislative history, Senator John Hottinger was talking about taking over facilities provide vaccines or medical treatment. In the House, legislators were also concerned about sort of this physical appropriation and use of private property for a state purpose. There's been no discussion of some sort of like a regulatory limitation on activity as amounting to commandeering. And that's not to say that there's nothing that can be done for small businesses or Minnesotans who've been affected by this pandemic, even if this statute isn't applicable, because there's been no direct enforceable use of Mr. Bazell's property. The legislature can always offer relief. And to be clear, the governor has supported those efforts throughout this pandemic. In December, for example, the legislature, with the governor's support, provided $216 million in assistance to affected Minnesotans. And certainly with the ongoing legislative session, if policymakers deem that appropriate, there are opportunities for them to do that. And ultimately, that leads to a more equitable result. Under the second subdivision of Section 12.34, appeals occur in the district court where the property is located. So we have a situation where the state is issuing thousands of compensation determination orders. We could end up in a position where similarly situated property owners, say a bar and restaurant in Hibbing versus a bar and restaurant in Pipestone, are ultimately receiving disparate amounts of compensation just by virtue of their geographic location, as opposed to a more equitable and uniform result that might be produced through legislation. And so for all of these reasons, commandeering requires direct enforceable use. And as a result, this court should affirm the district court's judgment that Mr. Bazell's property was not commandeered within the meaning of Section 12.34. And unless there are any further questions, I yield back the balance of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Dornfeld. And back to you, Mr. Anderson. You will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. You may proceed when you're ready. And you're muted. I just want to make sure you realize that before you get going.
I'm working on it, thanks. I think I heard a couple of things there that are kind of interesting. First is that they seem to be admitting that a forcible use is simply being able to do something that the owner doesn't want to have happen, which I think is pretty much clear here in the appellant's argument. They didn't want it to happen. They were forced to do it. But the more important thing, and I really do appreciate counsel's argument about the scale of what has to happen here. We all know this is a mess. But the reality is that to make a logistics argument, to be held hostage by the way the statute was written and then by the way size and cost is an interesting argument to make. That means that anything on the scale of what we have today, which again is, I know it's not very often, but the statute was written to address emergencies like this, which assumes, I think, big scale. And of course it's a big scale, we understand that, but that doesn't mean that it shouldn't be done if the statute requires it. And that's all I have to say in reply. And again, I ask that the lower court decision be reversed.
Okay, thank you both very much for your arguments this morning. The case is now submitted and we will be issuing a decision within the statutory timeframe. The argument is now complete and we will be excusing ourselves to conference our non-oral cases. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.